This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. It is often said that once you have children, your life is no longer your own. I think most moms and dads would agree. Dedicated parents put their own needs on hold as they work hard to ensure that little Johnny or little Tricia is happy and cared for. But there's a problem, especially for moms. Their particular need for peace, quiet, and solitude doesn't just go away. After all, there are meals to prepare, carpools to survive, commutes to endure, homework, laundry, bath time, bedtime, etc., etc. Before long, moms can start to lose connection with their inner wonderfulness and find themselves longing for a pause button to press. Well, long no more. Our guest today has co-written a book called, interestingly enough, Pressing Pause, and she's here to talk about being a busy mom and finding moments of solitude each and every day. Karen Eamon is a Proverbs 31 Ministries speaker. We'll find out what that is in a minute. And New York Times bestselling author. She also uploads an online devotional that reaches more than a million women. Karen, welcome to HeartWise.
Thanks for having me, Charles.
Okay, first of all, what in the world is Proverbs 31 Ministry? What is that?
Well, that is a ministry based in Charlotte, North Carolina. I actually live in Michigan, but I'm part of Proverbs 31 Ministries, and we exist to help busy women live godly lives. We have an online devotional you just spoke about that reaches over a million people. Every Monday through Friday, they fire up their computer and in their inbox is an encouraging devotion for the day. We also have events where we have a team of 12 speakers that go out and do in-person events all over the country and sometimes internationally as well. And the thing I'm the most excited about as we try to help godly women live busy lives is we've just released a First 5 app. It is a phone app that keys into your alarm clock so that when you swipe that alarm off in the morning, up comes a Bible reading passage for the day where you with hundreds of thousands of other people are going through a Bible passage to give your first 5 minutes of the day to God, to get grounded in His Word, to have some questions to ponder throughout the day. You can interact with people. You can post the image we have there on social media. But it just helps you, rather than to reach for the phone and, you know, start hopping on social media, to instead reach for God's Word and give your first 5 minutes of your day to God.
Well, that sounds like a healing practice to me. Now, let me ask you point blank here. Why women? Why are you targeting women with this Pressing Pause book? Don't we men need some help too?
I'm sure men probably do need some help too, but I think because my co-author Ruth and I, who's a fellow mom, she has 4 children, I have 3 children, we just were talking in a coffee shop one day about our crazy busy schedules, this crazy busy culture we live in, and how as moms, so many things are just placed on your plate that you never asked for, but you just have to do by virtue of office of being a mom and being maybe a wife and a worker and a church member. We have all of these things we're trying to juggle, that so often the thing that gets pushed off the plate is spending time with God. So we just decided to write the book from our perspective, from the lives we live, of being busy moms who want to connect with God but have so many other things to do that often finding that time just doesn't happen.
Okay, now let's get to the fundamentals here. Busy women. I mean, women have been busy all through generations. They've been busy for thousands of years. Is there anything in particular about this society, this culture, this world today that is particularly damaging to the peace and quiet and solitude of women?
I believe that not just seems like we have more hours in our day now than women did years ago. I mean, when it got dark, if there wasn't electricity, you pretty much were back at home by the time it got dark. But now we can be at a meeting at church or school or running around until, you know, midnight because we have electricity. I mean, just different cultural things have happened. But I also think just this whole phenomenon of the internet and social media and being able to see what everybody else is doing, sometimes we don't just hone in on what we are supposed to be doing, what God has called us and our families to, because we see everybody else out doing more and doing it better. And we start to compare ourselves with them and think, oh, well, we need to be doing all those things too as well. And so sometimes looking at other people gets us running at this rat race at this pace that we really weren't meant to run, but we're trying to keep up with them. You know, in years past, you know, this whole keeping up with the Joneses thing, whether it's, you know, wanting a nice house or a nice car, which is how society used to measure success. Now we measure success by how busy we are and how busy our families are. Keeping up with the Joneses years ago, you only saw them once or twice a week, maybe, when they pulled into church in a car nicer than yours, or they were at the PTA meeting in a dress nicer than yours. But now the Joneses parade in front of our eyes 24/7 on social media, and we see all the things they're doing, and we just start racing to try to keep up with them, to be like them, rather than just focusing on our own family, what we like to do, what we were meant to do, and just letting the other fall aside.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a picture of you and your co-author there, and both of you do not seem old enough to remember the women's movement of the 70s. And I was just wondering, is there added pressure to women today because of what happened in the women's movement and, you know, be all you can be and you can do it all and the super mom and whatnot? Is there added pressure today because of that, or is that just beside the point?
Oh, no, I do think there's added pressure, and it's not just that we think we need to do it all, but we think we need to do it all at once. Mm. And we don't tend to think of our life as a mom in seasons. That, you know, there's going to be a season when I can maybe focus more on work, you know, when my kids are older or whatever. And then there's another season where maybe I need to pull back from some work and focus more on my family. We don't tend to think of doing things in a sequence and in seasons and realizing that there are times to focus in and narrow in on some things and times to back off. We think we need to do it all at once. And there we go again with the rat race. We are trying to just do too much.
We're talking with Karen Eamon. She is the co-author of Pressing Pause. It is a devotional book for women and their specific needs. Now, you mentioned that you are a mother of three. Do you have any daughters in there, Karen?
I do. I have a daughter that just turned 25.
Okay. When that daughter was growing up, what did you say to that daughter to prepare her for the life that she was going to live and to teach her how to press pause in her own existence?
Well, she is very much like her mother. She loves people and she loves activity, and she's very energized by being with people and doing activities. So I noticed from an early age with her that she just tended to want to do everything that her friends did. Mm. If her friends were playing basketball, she wanted to play basketball. If her friends were trying out for the play, she wanted to try out for the play. And so we sat down with her early and said, you know, you need to have a major and a minor. You need to have, just like in college someday, you need to think of one thing you really, really love and you want to do. We're going to go ahead and let you do that. And then you need to pick one other thing that's maybe your second favorite thing to do. And anything beyond that, if you want to add that to your schedule, we're not saying that you can't. But we are saying we won't pay for it, nor will we take you there and back, because we think that's too many activities for a child. Well, she decided when she got in high school that she wanted to do three things. She wanted to do volleyball, drama, and then she decided to go out for the soccer team because all of her friends were going out for the soccer team. And because we said you're going to need to find rides to and from practices, we'll, of course, come to the games, but you're going to need to get that transportation taken care of to go to and from practice, and you're going to need to pay the $125 fee, which she had a babysitting job, so she had plenty of money in the bank and could do that. She said, okay, I'm going to do it. Well, she went to just three practices, and then she came home and she said, you know what, I have decided not to go out for the soccer team. I really don't like it. She's not a big runner person, so she didn't like all of the running. There's a lot less running in drama and volleyball.
Yes.
And she wasn't very good at it. She's not super coordinated with her feet, and so she knew she was probably going to be arranging all those rides, paying that $125, and most likely sitting on the bench watching her friends play. And all of a sudden it dawned on her that she could sit in the stands and watch her friends play for free. So she, because we had that little rule in place, she came to the conclusion that soccer was just not for her. But if we had just given her unlimited money to do unlimited activities, she's such a people person, she probably would have stayed on the team. So I think it's really important to teach your kids, you know, not that you shouldn't ever do anything you're not good at. I mean, I've had kids that have started on teams, and I've had kids that have sat on the bench. You can learn just as much sitting on the bench as you can being a starter. I'm not saying that, but to really help them to think through, am I good at this? Or maybe I'm not great at it, but I really enjoy it. And pick their activities based on that, not just based on, oh, all my friends are doing it, so I want to be on the team. When they have a grid to kind of run those activities through, and they have to invest some of their own money and effort finding rides and things like that, I think it helps them to not stack their schedule so high and so tight that they're going to get caught up in this race of busy, and it's going to feel familiar to them, and then they'll carry that into adulthood. I think it helps them to just really think about, what do I like to do and what am I good at, and not just what is everyone else doing.
Well, now, you are letting your daughter, you let your daughter in the past, make decisions on her own. That is a leap of faith for a mom and dad to do that, to let that daughter, or a son, I guess, to just go out there and just start making decisions on their own. How did you prepare her to start making those decisions so that she could reduce her stress down the road?
I think it starts with letting them make decisions about smaller things that don't matter quite as much, and seeing their decision-making ability and how they think through things and reason through things, and then slowly giving them bigger decisions. You know, we didn't, as a kindergartner, let her decide her schedule, of course. But I think, you know, by the time they hit late middle school, early high school, they need to learn. They need to exercise that muscle of decision-making. And I'm telling you, I have seen so many parents, and I was headed down this road, too, until I really had somebody mentor me in this area. I've seen a lot of parents just micromanage their kids' every move until they're out of high school, and then they go off to college and they don't know how to make a decision. They don't know how to take care of themselves. They can't run a washing machine. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to do any of that. And I've always felt like it is my job as a parent to, yes, love my kids and train my kids and protect my kids from the things they need protecting from, but also to work myself out of a job. And I think that it starts young, that we slowly give them the reins. We slowly let them take responsibility, let them do tasks around the home, let them make some decisions, so that by the time they do graduate high school, they can function on their own. They're not crippled because we were a helicopter parent.
Our guest today is Karen Eamon. She is co-author of a book called Pressing Pause. It is a new release that is addressing Christian women's issues. And the reason I have her on this program is, listener, if you are familiar with this program, of course, you know that stress is a major detriment to health. Anything I can do, anything our guests can do to remove stress from your life, we're actually bringing healing to you, and that's what this is all about today. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, more with the co-author of Pressing Pause, we're going to find out what part God plays in your stress levels, and how he and what he has said in his book, and how he, as you think about him, just think about him, can bring peace and healing to your soul. So stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham with your biblical prescription for life. Would you like a strategy to help you lower your blood pressure other than medications? Well, our biblical prescription for today comes from Psalm 63, verses 3. This text states, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Well, studies have shown that kindness can lengthen your life and actually lower your blood pressure by increasing vagal tone, the parasympathetic nervous system, chemicals like oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, and all of these might contribute to lowering the blood pressure. Not only does it lower blood pressure, but kindness can help your blood sugar and improve your immune system. So if you want a strategy to help you lower your blood pressure, how about participating in a random act of kindness today? To learn more, go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Have you ever wondered about your place on this earth? Why you were put here? And what you can do to make a difference? Well, I've got good news. You can become a healer. I'm Nick Evanson, production manager at Heartwise Ministries, inviting you to help spread the news that optimum health is possible. Your family, friends, and coworkers don't have to be as sick as they are. There's information available to help them stop chronic disease in its tracks. Diabetes, heart disease, obesity, hypertension, they've all met their match. Your support of this ministry allows thousands to learn how to defeat these destructive enemies. Working in partnership with Heartwise Ministries also brings changes into your life, and believe me, people will notice. Your example becomes a healing light in a very dark and sick world. Take a moment and visit our website at heartwiseministries.org and add your support. Become a leader and share the gift that truly keeps on giving. Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Karen Eamon. She is the co-author of a book, Pressing Pause, and it says here that it is a book to address Christian women's issues. Now, Christian women's issues, are there needs that a Christian woman has that a secular woman or someone who is unchurched, someone who doesn't really worry about God, perhaps an atheist, are there specific issues that that woman faces that others don't?
Yes, I think so, because we as Christians are designed to connect with our Creator, to spend time alone with God, to go to Him for our marching orders. And often when we get caught up in the busyness and the stresses of life, we don't make time for that. And so it gets put on the back burner and we suffer as a result. We can suffer spiritually, emotionally, physically, when we don't carve out time from our busy schedule to really rest and to really get to know God and get our energy for serving Him.
Now, you've written an entire book here with your friend Ruth to point people toward God, toward things divine, toward heaven. What is unique about God and heaven that we need in our lives? In other words, I've heard them say that we have a God-sized hole in our heart. What is it about God that fills that hole?
Well, we definitely do have a hole in our heart that can only be filled by God, and we spend time often trying to fill it with other things that don't last.
Yes.
And I think for the Christian, we have the responsibility to live in light of eternity, to think through our days and our interactions with people and our schedules and all the things that we're doing of how this impacts eternity. And the best example or explanation I guess I can give is the woman who is my spiritual mother. She led me to the Lord when I was in high school. She told me that there are only two reasons that we're on earth. One is to have a relationship with God, to grow that relationship. And so we, when we get to heaven, you know, we know about Him and we have served Him and we have walked with Him on earth. So it's that relationship with God. But the second reason is to take other people with us. And nothing else really matters. When it all comes down to it, nothing else really matters because we can't take anything to heaven with us except for other people.
Right.
So for the Christian, I think when we think about our life and our activities, our interactions, our responsibilities, even the things we voluntarily sign up for, we need to always be thinking in light of eternity. Is this going to help me grow my relationship with God? Is it going to help somebody else grow their relationship with God or maybe introduce them to God for the first time? And so I don't mean just filling your life with church activities. I mean, you know, if my son is going to be on the football team and I'm going to be a football mom, then I'm going to be praying for those other football moms I sit with in the bleachers and cheer our kids on. I'm going to be signing up to, you know, make some food for a function that's going on for a team dinner or whatever. And I'm going to be interacting with those boys in hopes that they see God and they see me serving Jesus in my life. And so as I'm in these secular activities, they can have a spiritual component to it. As I think about the people I'm going to get to know, I pray for them. I pray that they will ask me questions about God. I don't go, you know, shoving pamphlets in their face or anything. I just try to get to know them and sure. care about them and reflect Jesus to them, whether or not I use words or not. But I always pray that they will ask me, something's different about you. What is it? And then I feel like I have an open door to share with them how they too can make it to heaven.
Well, I think I am recognizing here a motivation that you had along with Ruth Schwenk as you wrote Pressing Pause. I think you are really training women how to internalize God, how to bring Christ into the life so it does show. Would I be on the right track for saying that?
Yes, you would. And there are 100 devotions, 100 quiet moments for moms to meet with Jesus. And what we did with those 100 devotions is we kind of split them up into five areas, a woman's relationship with God, a woman's relationship with their spouse, a woman's relationship with their children, then their home. What can they do in their home that reflects God to others, whether the kids are seeing it or people that come into our home? And then the fifth category, we really tried to write some encouraging parts of the book for women to interact with society, whether that's their neighborhood or their local town or the world. You know, what can they do to bring Christ to the world and the culture in which they live?
Well, that's interesting. What can you do to your home to reflect Christ? If someone walks in the front door, you're going to have a picture of Jesus on the wall, a crucifix above the lintel. How do you prepare a home to be a witness?
That's a great question. You know, I'm not against if you have, you know, any kind of decoration that has a Bible verse on it or whatever. That's great. But I think making my home, the atmosphere of my home, be reflective of God's atmosphere to us. Mm. You know, He loves us. He welcomes us. He wants us to find comfort and rest in Him. He wants us to be refreshed. And I think so often when we think of having people into our home, we think of the world's view of entertaining, which seeks to impress people.
Yes, yes.
And show them, you know, wow, can I cook? Or, man, is my decor high-end or whatever. Entertaining seeks to impress people, but offering hospitality seeks not to impress but to refresh people, to give them that cold glass of lemonade and have them, you know, pull up a chair and just visit with you and to listen to them and to make them feel welcome. And I know my husband and I were in ministry for about a decade when we were first married. He was on staff at a church. And I think of the people that we interacted with kind of in our jobs, you know, capacity as a youth pastor and wife. But then I also think of just the informal times of kids coming into my home and how, you know, I feel like almost my husband and I have had a greater impact just in our daily lives as Mr. and Mrs. Eamon, having people to our home, especially our children's friends over the years than we did when we were in formal ministry. And not that it's bad to be in formal ministry. I don't mean that, but I think sometimes we think we leave it up to the experts. They're the ones that are supposed to be sharing Jesus and leading people to the Lord. Well, we are all called to do that. And it thrills my soul. And I can almost hardly say it without crying. But the times that I have opened up my home to one of my teenage son's friends who was kind of from the wrong side of the tracks, didn't have the greatest home life, but he felt loved at my home. I would give him a big hug when I would see him. I would make him my homemade waffles. A bunch of teenage boys would spend the night and get up in the morning to a hot breakfast. And this one boy in particular, he'd get up a little early. Well, I just got to go see him be baptized. He, because of several people in his life that were loving him, speaking the truth, accepting him when he did wrong, and pointing him in the right direction, he became a follower of Christ. And I got to sit at his baptism and I just rejoiced thinking just I got to play a little part in that by making him homemade waffles and always, you know, talking to him in a way where he felt welcome. And then when he felt like he wanted to ask me some questions, I was able to share with him about Christ and about the Bible and how God could help him in the struggle he was having. And it's just, you know, such a simple thing to think making waffles for someone can lead them to Christ. But we don't know what all is going on in their life with other interactions they're having with people. So we need to be just attentive, living alert, and using our home willingly, even if, you know, I don't have that great of a house. I have a very average house with very average furniture, most of it bought from garage sales. But he said to me one day, there's something about your house. I just love being here. And I recognize it's not my decor, not my cooking. It's that he is sensing Christ when he's inside my four walls.
Oh my, that is absolutely beautiful. Karen, your book, Pressing Pause, where can people learn more about this?
Well, they can head to my website, KarenEamon.com, and my last name is spelled E-H-M-A-N, mm-hmm. or to my ministry's website, Proverbs31.org. And it's also available at almost any bookstore or online retailer that sells books.
All right, the book Pressing Pause, and every woman, and I believe every man, needs to learn how to do that. Thank you so much for being with us today, Karen. We appreciate your words of wisdom. Thank you.
Thanks, Charles.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Karen Eamon, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.